Thank you for coming this morning. We're glad to have you. And we are continuing. Actually, we are finishing our 40-day journey, if you can believe it. I told you it would go by fast, and it has. 40-day journey that we started. And this is week 7. And we're going to conclude with, I think it's kind of fun. I'm going to have you guys do the teaching. Have testimonies. I asked you last week to email me. Remember that? I asked you guys to. Yeah, oh, that's right. A number of you did. And actually, I have some emails from when we did it before as well, a number of years ago in the archives because they were so good. I'm going to read some of those as well. A bunch of you did email. And you're going to do the teaching today. We're going to just remember, we're going to look back and kind of review what God has done over the last 40 days because it's really been a journey for our church. And it has been a good thing. And we're going to celebrate again today. You know, there's one thing we can always do, and that's celebrate. And I don't know if you noticed, but we have catered food coming, and it's going to be after the service. I'm going to try to end early. I'm going to try to do that. We can all hang out, have some really, the Morrisons are catering for us. It's going to be really good stuff just to hang out and enjoy one another and celebrate what God has done over the last 40 days. So that's what this teaching is all about, to look back. I call it the last word, but really it's just the beginning, isn't it? But we're going to look back at what God's done over the last 40 days because when I call it the last word, last words are important. I always talk to people, you know, if when I'm working with them and if they have someone, a loved one dies, you know, last words are important. People often want to know that. What were their last words? So I just thought to kick this off, since it was called the last word, that we would just look back and at some last words of some pretty famous people. I just did famous last words. So here's some last words from some famous people, all right? Well, there we go. H.G. Wells, famous English author. Yeah, some of them are kind of funny. Go away, I'm all right. Those were his last words. I'm all right, leave me alone. I like this one. John Sedgwick, I'm a Civil War buff. He was at Spotsylvania. He was leading the charge of the Battle of Spotsylvania for the Union Army. And some of his men ducked when they heard shots being fired. Some of his men kind of flinched, and he rebuked them. He said, I'm ashamed of you dodging that way. They couldn't hit an elephant at this distance. And he was shot off his horse by a sniper a long ways away. Those were his last words. Julius Caesar said, I live. And then he died. He was a glass half full person, I think. Frank Sinatra, on the other hand, realized something wasn't going right. He said, I'm losing it. That was his last words. This is interesting. John Adams said, well, at least Jefferson still lives. Now, this is a very interesting story. He died on July 4th, 1826, 50 years to the day after the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th. Now, some miles away, his good friend and mentor in many ways and political ally in different times, they were enemies, Thomas Jefferson lay in his bed dying the same day. And a few hours before John Adams died, Thomas Jefferson died. They both died on July 4th, 1826, 50 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And John Adams didn't know that, of course. But his last words were, at least Jefferson still lives. Very interesting. Robert F. Kennedy, as he was assassinated, after he was assassinated, his last words were, is everyone all right? He was concerned about other people. Bob Marley, his last words, money can't buy life. He's a renowned musician, reggae music. He died of cancer, and this was to his son. He said, money can't buy life. He was only 36 years old when he died. And this is my favorite. Oscar Wilde, famous English playwright, said, my wallpaper and I are fighting, a duel to the death. One or the other of us has to go. Those were truly his last words, if you can believe that. Listen, last words are important. Today we want to look back at the last words of what we've learned over the last 40 days. Biblically, it's a good thing to do. Deuteronomy 11:2 says this. It says, remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him. And that's what we're going to do. Ephesians 4 says that the body builds itself up in love. The body does this. So I'm going to read a lot of emails to you on these different areas that we've learned. But let's, for the final time, review our 5 purposes that we learned over the last 40 days. First purpose is this, to know and love God, which is what? Say it with me. Worship. Second one was to love God's family, which is? Thank you. 3, become like Jesus, which is discipleship. Number 4, serving God and others, which is? And finally, last week we looked at sharing the good news, and that is mission. Five purposes that Rick Warren has helped us through his book to kind of filter down. Obviously, he uses a lot of scripture, obviously comes from the Bible. These five things aren't written in the context of the Bible. They're not written in the table of contents. Thou must do these five things. But in general, these are principles that we clearly find in the Bible. These are purposes that God has given us in life. And I'm telling you, the world is looking for purpose. It really is. And we know where to find it, don't we? We've been looking for 40 days at it. And if you've missed any, these are all online. We videotaped these. These are all on our website. You can go back and watch these if you missed any of these sessions. So, here's what we learned. Let's jump right into it here. Four things. We're going to look at the top four things that we've learned together. Number one, what we've learned about God. We've learned some things about God, haven't we? And one of the first things, I bet you can even fill in the blanks for me here. The first blanks, that it's all about and not about. It's all about God and it's not about me. That's what a lot of you wrote about. A lot of you remember that. That's the first line in Rick Warren's book. And it's a principle and thought that we see throughout the Bible. That this life, this purpose in life, is not really about us. It's about God. And I like what Hebrews says when this idea that it's not about me. Hebrews says it this way in chapter 2, verse 10. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children share His glory. It's all about God. And we got to remember that. That helps us in this life to remember it's not about me. It's really not. It is about God. This life and our purpose on this planet is about what God wants for us. What God would have us do. It's about God. And it bids well for us to remember that. I like what Rick Warren said. He said, "You were made by God and for God. And until you understand this, life doesn't make any sense." And I say amen to that. I don't care how many tea leaves you look at. I don't care how many horoscopes you read, how many Oprah episodes you watch. You won't find your purpose in life apart from God and what He says in His Word. Even this week, Tom Jackson sent me an email with, it was interesting. It's a book out by, who was it by again? Oh, yeah, Franklin Covey has a new book out, Find Your Purpose. Find Your True Purpose for only, it was $299. You can find your true purpose, 77 tapes and videos on business practices. And that's how you find your true purpose, is through business. People are looking for their purpose, aren't they? And we've learned some things about our purpose. We've learned some things about God. And it changes your perspective on everything. When we realize it's not about us, it is about God. I like this verse. In Colossians 1:16 says, "Everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him." And that includes us. That's why we're on this earth. So let me just read you some of the emails that I got, which are very encouraging, on this issue of understanding this. It's about God, it's not about me. And again, you guys, a lot of you sent these in. "Dear Pastor, my life was changed on the first day of the 40 Days of Purpose with the first sentence of the book." The book begins, "It's not about you." Again, this affected a lot of people. This person says, "I can't tell you how much those four words have altered my outlook on life. During the 40 days, my eyes have been opened to see how much of my emotional pain and problems in relationships have been caused by ignoring this basic truth. Since I've learned it, I've noticed that whenever I act like it, it's all about me, I lose my happiness. I start worrying about problems, and I get angry and resentful when people like my husband let me down. I feel insecure when I'm criticized, jealous when I'm overlooked, and guilty when I think about my shortcomings. I also become impatient with my kids and stubborn when I don't get my way. The root of all this negative emotion has been my focus on me. For the last 5 weeks, I've tried switching my focus off me and onto God. And throughout the day, I repeat, it's not about me, it's all about God. What a difference this has made. I'm a happier person, a better mom, and a better wife." That's what one person wrote. Another person wrote this. He's got this one recently. He said, "Hi, Bill. I found the 40 days to be a hugely influential in understanding my Christian life. I've gone to church ever since I was born, and I study the Bible regularly throughout my life. I've had glimpses of what it feels like to have a conscious contact with God, but They've always been short and fleeting experiences since I soon returned to self-centered endeavors. When I think about the entire experience of my life, I can see today it has been God using everything to prepare me for ministry as explained in the 40 days. Especially the part about using our greatest weakness to serve other people. My prayer life has dramatically changed over the last 5 weeks. I feel I have a much better understanding of what is meant by trust and faith in God. Today I pray I know Jesus better, that He put in my life what He wants me to do, and that I have eyes and ears open to hear it and to do it. Thank you for introducing me to this. So, it's all about God. It's not about us. One more on this topic here. This person says, yes, these last 40 days have been life-changing. Again, these are from you guys. I would say the most important or life-changing truth that has really made an impact on me was the revelation that I'm here for God's purposes and not for my own. In trying to live out this truth, I'm learning and discovering what it truly means to be fully alive. I am seeing how there is so much joy in knowing that every day you get to be used for greater purposes than you could ever imagine. I would say, too, that my attitude toward trials and hardships has changed. I used to be scared of them, but now I'm understanding more and more how God uses these in our lives to draw us closer to Him and to prepare us for His work. What is even more exciting is that I'm seeing people's lives being changed as well as my own. I'm so thankful and happy to be a part of such an awesome fellowship and looking forward to experiencing the plans God has for us. It's not about us, it's about God. And I think a lot of us got that this last 40 days, and that's good. Another thing we need to see is that God still does miracles. When we're looking at the things we've learned about God, is that He does miracles. And one of the biggest miracles, the miracle I'm most excited about, is when He changes lives. It says in Psalm 77 that You are a God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate Your awesome power. And I've got to believe that. And as a pastor, I want to tell you that I get the opportunity to see that. In real time, I get to see God working in people's lives and doing miracles and changing lives. Now, maybe you're not at that point. I think there are different seasons in our lives. You know what? I'm going to be very real with you here. I was looking back at what people wrote to me in our last 40 days about 8 years ago. And some of those people who were so excited, they're not really running for God anymore. Even people that wrote me emails saying, this was so awesome. They've made choices and life has hit them hard. So you may not be at a point where you're thinking, oh, I'm just seeing so many miracles in my life. I don't want you to be discouraged by that. There are different seasons in our lives. There certainly are. There's seasons of hardship. And even feeling distant from God, that happens from time to time. There's other times where we feel blessed and we're in plenty and we sense miracles, we sense things going on around our lives. Listen, life isn't always way up here. It wasn't for David, it wasn't for Moses, it wasn't for any character in the Bible, and it won't be for us. There are times where things are hard and challenging, and don't be discouraged by that. Even when we hear how God is working in people's lives, we should be encouraged by that, okay? So, God still does miracles. And let me read you a couple of emails from that. Says this, here's one. Pastor, I would like to share with you how God has blessed me in this ministry. When I was 12, and this is somewhat outstanding. I did pull this one from the archives because it was so powerful. Listen to this. This is what happened through the 40 days last time. When I was 12, my mother turned our lives into an addiction to meth. We lost everything. Our home, our car, her job, our little family was turned upside down. I took care of my little sister the best I could while mother went crazy. We were eventually put into foster care. I was 15. My sister and I were separated and I felt very much alone. I had always had a belief in God, and I remember praying as a little girl, bargaining that if God would get my mother off drugs, I would be a good girl, but it didn't happen. After being burned by a church at the age of 17, I joined a Wicca. It's a witch covenant type thing. A Wicca, then went to Satanism, then to Satan worship. One night I was done. I was going to give up. My life was hell. And as I contemplated ending it all, I prayed to God. I asked Him if He was there to show me, because I just didn't feel like going on anymore. I told Him that I was sorry and that I knew I was a sinner and that I could never, ever live up to be the woman I knew He wanted me to be. God spoke to me that night, Pastor. All He said were three little words, and I heard the words many times before, but it never touched me the way they did that night. God said, I love you. And it sank in. It sank in past my cold heart and my dead bones and penetrated every fiber in my being. I saw the cross and I knew at that moment that I was forgiven. I moved back to Utah and I searched high and low for a fellowship. My mother got off drugs and got married and invited me to live with her. I witnessed to her my new family day and night. I began searching for a church family. I knew there had to be a fellowship somewhere here. I tried every church in Utah County. I didn't have a car, so I had limited transportation, but I knew God would provide some way. Then one night, I was watching Meet the Pastor, and you were on it. I was on it one time, and they've rerun this over and over at different times. I knew that that was the church God wanted me to join. My mother agreed to come, and about 18 others came with us too. Then my mother came to the Lord. I also got a car and found fellowship. God is awesome. He's really working in Utah, and we are ready to be a part of it. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for bringing fellowship to Utah. And most of all, thank you for helping God reach just one more girl and her family. May God bless you. Now, there's a story. There's a miraculous story, right? I mean, most of us don't come from a background like that. But I think it is encouraging to hear how God is still doing miracles. Amen? And that is a changed life. Let's go on here. So the first thing we learned was about God. Here's some things we learned about life. First of all, that life is preparation for eternity. This life right here is simply preparing us for eternity, as it says in Psalm 77. God has planted eternity in the hearts of men. Actually, that reference is wrong. It's Ecclesiastes 3:11. God has planted eternity in the hearts of man. And believe that. You got to remember that and believe that. Whenever you're talking to your friends about eternity or about heaven and hell, even if they say, listen, I don't believe that, here's the point. Either their conscience is completely seared or they're lying to you, because the Bible says, and we can believe it, is that God has put eternity in every human being's heart. That they think about heaven and hell. They think about eternity because it's in their heart. Now, they may try to shove it away and not think about it, but deep down, when you talk to them about eternity, God is on the other side and you're kind of giving them the squeeze play. Because they do believe it deep down that there is something beyond this grave. That's what the Bible says. And for you and I as Christians, this life is preparation for the next life. That's why we're here. And that's what we learn in this particular study. No job, no relationship, no hobby, no pleasure, no addiction will give you as much significance as living this life, knowing that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. Understanding that will change the way you live here. And we had some people email regarding this that I'll read to you. This email says, this series has impacted me greatly. I was very scared at first to start reading the book, knowing that I would have to change the things I'm doing in my life. That's being very honest. It still is scary, but it has changed my life for the better. Better is underlined. I feel like a better person going to church and reading this book. I know I've made some mistakes in my life, like everyone else, and I know for a fact that I wouldn't have joined your church. If I wouldn't have joined your church, then I wouldn't be the person I am today. And I'm so grateful for that. So thank you. God has been doing so much and his ways are so interwoven that it's hard to say exactly what. But one awesome thing I've noticed is that each day he has brought me something to my day to challenge me on what I've read about that day. I think this is so cool. Reading this book has helped me see how alive God is and working in my life and in my friends' lives every day. It has also really inspired me to be bold in how I live. Every little choice counts for eternity. So she's seeing life more in light of eternity because of the things that we've learned. And that is one of the things that are so important for us to take away from this study. Another thing is that we need to understand about life is that people are hungry for spiritual truth, whether they say they are or not. People are looking for what we have. We have the answers to what people are asking the questions about. We do. And we need to believe that. I like John 4:35. Look around you. It says, vast fields of human souls are ripening all around you and are ready now for reaping. People are dying literally for what you have and what I have. And we need to be willing to share it with them. And hopefully this study has helped you understand that this journey has taken you down the road a ways to see that you have a responsibility and an opportunity to be able to help other people find what you have. And a lot of you have learned that. I mean, it's been exciting to see our small groups. We have 31 small groups in this little fellowship right now, 22 of them devoted to the 40 days of purpose. A lot of people have joined these small groups. A number of baptisms are going to be happening over the next month or so. as a result of this study, and also our 101 class. A number of people were able to go to that and see the need for baptism. So it's exciting to see that God is working in people's lives. God is drawing people. People need this. They're hungry for it. Here's an example or two of people that wrote and sharing just that. One email says, "Bill, we have brand new baby Christians in our small group. They are very excited about the study and have all expressed how much they want to grow spiritually and to learn. People want this. We even had a first-time visitor last night who was a non-Christian. I think he was blown away. It's all good, though. It does an old grump like me good to be a part of people's growth and change lives. Thanks for all you do." Another email says, "I think they should change the title of this book to Spirituality for Dummies. I prayed for God to show me where and how to start my walk with Him, and that is exactly what I got. This book is great because it makes it easy for even the spiritually handicapped like me to live for God. Every day is just one day closer to heaven. I'm looking forward to the bigger picture now. If you apply these things in your life, you can't help but grow in your relationship with Him. I still have a long way to go, but I praise God for this study and its purposes that have been shown in my life." I have one more here that relates to this idea that people are hungry spiritually. It says, "Hi, Bill. God has really been working in our lives and in the lives of the people in our group. Last week, before our first small group, my friend at work who has never had Christian beliefs asked me to go to lunch." This is kind of a cool story. "I usually don't have time, but last week I was able to. As we were sitting there, she was talking about her confusion, being unsure, etc. I've talked to her about the rock a few times, and she's even come once a few years ago. I've been hesitant to be pushy as I didn't want to turn her off from Christianity. She said she was driving to work yesterday, and she couldn't stop crying. She was struggling, and I just felt like I should talk to her about the purpose-driven life. After I finished with my brief spiel, she said she had prayed to the God of the universe or to whomever that she would find something. She said she had either need for God or for medication. It was so awesome. She said she'd been coming to the group. She has been coming to the group and reading ever since. She said yesterday she went to lunch with some high school friends who are reading the book Purpose in Life in a different church. One last thing," she said, "both of my parents, non-Christians, are reading the book daily. They wanted to support us in this reading, and they love it. My mom said she could see why I loved it so much, and they were enjoying reading it and are learning a lot. I believe God is using this to help us have a better understanding and closeness in our faith." She says, "I know you asked for a short email, but you know how I am." Smiley face. This book has an influence on people. People are hungry for what you have. I hope you believe that. People really want what you have. Again, the Barna statistic is true that I think 6 million people in our country don't attend any type of church, but half of those are looking for an invite. They're waiting for an invite. We should be bold in inviting our friends and family to church. Oh, let me share this story. This is funny. Rick Warren, in a message after they went through the first purpose-driven life, he tells a story that of different groups that were doing this study, the 40 days, and he got an email from a group in prison. A bunch of prisoners decided to go through this together, and he wrote, this is the email that Rick Warren got. He says, "Dear Pastor Rick, I just thought you ought to know that we're studying the 40 days of purpose in the state prison where I'm an inmate. We got it through our Celebrate Recovery programs, which is also a Saddleback program. So many of us got into trouble because we didn't know what our purpose was." Isn't that interesting? So many of his friends, he felt like, were in prison. They didn't know why they were on this planet. He says, "Now when I get out, I know what I'm going to live for." Isn't that good? And after Rick Warren shared that, one of his somebody that goes to his church sent this to him and said, "You ought to write a new book, Rick, and this is what it should be called, The Prison-Driven Life by Rick Warden. How long am I in for?" I like that. All right, so that was the second thing. We learned about God, we learned about life. Here's a third thing that we learned about. We learned about spiritual growth, that God's love really does make a difference in our lives. Spiritual growth. God wants us to grow up, to mature. I like this verse in 1 John 3:1. It says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. How great, I just love that verse. I was thinking about it this morning. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. God's love will change our lives as we understand it. That's such a big part of spiritual growth, is to understand that God loves us. And many of us don't experience this in our life, in our growing up, in our families. We don't experience unconditional love. We don't experience it with relationships. We often don't experience it with our friends or coworkers or neighbors or even our close, intimate families. Sometimes we don't even experience it there. And a lot of us don't experience it in our church experience, our church going. We grow up in a legalistic, works-based church or system that says, listen, you got to earn your way to God. You got to be worthy before God will love you. You know what? That is just an antithesis to what the Bible says about God's love. God's love is lavished on us. Oh, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. God loves us so much, and that will change our lives. And that's why I think it resonated with so many of you. God's love, it's like pouring cold water on a dry, crusty sponge. If you grew up in a system, a religious system, that you didn't feel like God really loved you, you couldn't be confident in that until you acted a certain way. I just want to assure you today, God loves you right where you're at. He does. And this is a truth that changed a lot of your lives. Let me just read one email here relating to this. This one said, last night was great in our small group. We got into a deep discussion about our relationship with God. I feel so touched and moved today. I really never thought about God loving me and enjoying me. And we talked about it last night. I think it stems from my past religion. I always felt like I had to earn God's love, and it was all about me serving and loving God. I never have really sat and thought about the love that God has for me and why He so desires a relationship with me. So today I'm really working on offering myself to God and showing Him affection by thanking Him constantly. And right now I want God to know how grateful I am for Him in my life and His love for me. It's life-changing, isn't it? When we truly understand how much God loves us, how much God loves us. That's a big part of what we learn, that God's love really makes a difference. Also, we learn that we grow through fellowship, and this is so important, isn't it? Having fellowship, having other believers, like it says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, or so people can improve each other. We need each other. We really do. This is the way God designed it. It's part of our purpose, is fellowship. It's impossible to grow without it. And a lot of you commented on that. Here's some examples. Bill, the 40 days of purpose, the time I spent reading is very fulfilling. I always love growing closer to God and being revitalized by growing more spiritually, whether by myself or with others. The biggest thing I'm getting out of all this is becoming even more concrete in my faith. Coming to know His purpose for our lives makes me want to follow Him with even more conviction, passion, and desire. A lot of that comes from doing it with other people, growing up spiritually alongside of other believers. Another email. Hey Bill, in response to your email, the book has been great. It's answered nearly every question I've had, concurred most of my fears, and validated a lot of my feelings. And it's great, Bill. Check it out. I wasn't going to join a small group because I'm very busy, but I just wanted someone who I could share my thoughts and feelings of God with. I wanted someone who could help me grow in my beliefs, this desire for fellowship. Let me just say that I've been having other believers in my life, if only one, was a vital part of my security and growth. So I prayed, and I was like, God, I do not know what to do. I want to be part of a small group because a rope of three cords is hard to break. But with school and work, there's no time. Could you tell me something which is more important? I kept praying that, and God revealed Himself to me again, and then in parentheses, again and again and again. Because at the time I was praying that, my plate was so full, if I added one more thing, I would have tipped over. But the next service I went, I found there was a group I could sign up for, and so I did. Oddly enough, my plates seem even lighter now. It's funny how sometimes God shows you things you already thought you knew, but I'm glad He did. And I thank you. And another one on this topic. Aren't these good? These are real life stories of people that have been through this process with us. Bill, my life has been impacted by the success of our small group because of the people attending. We've had the company of new people to our church, some Christians, some not. We have been blessed to see how diverse the group has grown to love and care for each other. The seed has surely been planted and the watering is ongoing. I can see great fruit coming from our group, which is just one of many, having taken part of this wonderful journey. The love goes on. Understanding fellowship is one of the things that we learn, and it's so important. Here's the fourth big picture item that we learned together, and that is this. We learned about the future. In particular, we learned that the future, we need to start living now what we know. Living now what we have learned. And that's important to do. Put it into practice, in other words, right? We need to put these things that we've learned into practice. Here's some great verses on this. John 13:17 says, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed." Period. Is that what it says? Now that you know them, you'll be blessed. Is that all it? There's another part. You'll be blessed if, it's a conditional, if you do them. We can know things and not do them, then we miss a blessing. But if we know them and do them, they'll be a blessing. We've learned a lot. We need to apply them. It says in Ephesians 5, live life with a due sense of responsibility. Not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. This is God's call to us and the things that we've learned. One more verse, Philippians 3:16. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. Now that God has shown us some things, let's stay on it. Let's put them into practice. And a number of people have emailed about this. Let me just read these. One person wrote this. I just wanted to say that God is so awesome in how he has been able to reveal himself to me and my family in these past couple of months. At the beginning of these couple of months, I was given a choice. Finally get real with God or continue in a hopeless direction of haphazardly following him when it was convenient. Basically, an occasional, hey, how's it going, God? Which has been my direction for quite some years. Now, I have decided to change direction, letting him search me out and change me, committed to fellowship and seeking his purpose, seeking his pure love so that I might express it to others. Thank you. Another person wrote, it's wonderful to join with new and old friends to learn from God's word in a small group setting. Rick Warren's gift to believers and non-believers alike is the form of this study material has instilled in me a renewed determination to sow the seed of God's love, especially with my coworkers. Thank you for the past 6 weeks. Another person writes, this series came at a perfect time for me. Although I had read the book years ago, it was a great refresher to remind me that although current struggles in my personal and professional life, that God does have a perfect plan and place for me. Finally, in this section, here's a good one. Bill, this whole campaign has been awesome for me. I had been feeling rather spiritually dry, but I really feel on fire again. God is really doing something here. It's hard to even say just one thing that God has been using because he has been using it all. I felt his love so much more and have felt so much more peace and confidence about living my life for him. I feel like I'm having my own relationship with him so much more now, not just going through groups and church, but intimacy with him all day long. It is so incredible to feel it for myself. Yesterday's reading touched me about how we should praise God and cling to him all the time, even when we can't feel help. It has helped me so much to realize that all the hard things that happen are allowed by God, and he is waiting to see what we're going to do with them. I've heard about it before, but it really clicked yesterday. God's been changing the way I think with this campaign. Amen. Also, when it comes to learning about the future, we see that we need to pass it on. We need not just keep it for ourselves, right? We need to pass this on, what we've learned, to other people. 2 Timothy 2 says, now I want you to tell these same things to followers who can be trusted to tell others. God just doesn't want us to keep it close to us, but to help other people learn what we've learned. And many of you learn this. And this goes along with that illustration. If you had the cure for cancer, wouldn't you share that with people? If you had someone that you loved in a fiery building and you could save them, wouldn't you do that? People learn that through this study. Here's some examples here, and then we'll just summarize. Hi, Bill. I just read your email, and this is what I wanted to share with you regarding the 40 Days of Purpose. It says, I thank God for his perfect wisdom orchestrating all the people who have been coming to our group. My husband and I truly did not even know most of the people that came that first week. Our group continues to grow from people inviting others. A non-Christian couple came for the first time this week and are coming back. Perfect strangers. God is so awesome. I am blessed to say that God has encouraged my heart by showing me anew the amazing mission field we live in as the opportunities abound to share the love of Christ. The purpose-driven campaign has given us structure to reach the lost and invite them into our homes. He is so worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise, Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Another person wrote, Bill, I have two for you. I leave the book on my desk at work, placing it on the edge of my desk for any and all to see. I look for ways to use it as a tool to share in subtle ways with my coworkers. It has been a great talking point and allows an easy way to open up a conversation in a non-threatening way. Also, I have a non-Christian friend who recently opened dialogue with me and wants to talk about things of faith. I totally witnessed the Lord working the day I went to reply to an email from him. I think the Lord had prepared me and weighed on me how to reply using chapters I just read to assist me in a non-controversial way without taking cheap shots. Thank you, in him. And finally, Bill, my relationship with Jesus Christ has been strongly developed with this study. Please pray for me as far as sharing Jesus' love and the Word with others, continuing to desire him. Those are some examples of God using the truths that we studied over the last 40 days to make an impact on people's lives and help them see it's not just about them, it's about other people. And we're going to share it, we're going to pass it on to other peoples. Someone once used this illustration. The things that we've learned, we need to be more like a flowing, fresh flowing river than a reservoir. That's a word picture of the things that we've learned to pass it on to others, not just to hold it in, but to use it to guide us, to help other people find out what we know. God truly wants us to be able to do that. And it's evident that God has worked through his truths found in the Bible to change lives. And I appreciate the emails that came in. Let's just summarize here. I like what it says in Romans 1. I thank God through Jesus Christ for every one of you, because the news of your faith is spreading throughout the whole world. And I just want to say to you that I'm encouraged by your faith, that you are people who are selfless, you are risk takers, you're willing to open your mouth and share with your coworkers, put books on desks, to just engage with people. This is the kind of church that we want. This is the kind of church that we are. You're not afraid. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everyone who has taken the steps to be able to open their mouths and help other people find out what you know. And I just want to encourage you again that this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning for you and for me. This is not the end. We talked about last words. This isn't the end. This really is the beginning. Let this be a starting point, a launching point for us to continue to practice the things we've learned over the last 40 days, to practice them in our lives and take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. Amen? Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. And we thank you, God, that really, here's the things we learned. I just want you to pray with me in your heart quietly. You can pray this. You can say to God, Lord, since life is preparation for eternity, I want to use my time on earth fulfilling these five purposes for my life. I was planned for your pleasure, and that's called worship. So I will use this day to get to know and love you better. I was formed for your family, God, and that's fellowship. So I will use this day to show love for other believers. I was created to become like Jesus, and that's discipleship. So I will use this day to make choices to grow my character. I was shaped to serve you, Lord, and that's ministry. So I will use this day to serve you by serving other people. And finally, I was made for a mission, and that's evangelism. So God, I will use this day to share the good news with other people. I thank you for reminding me of these truths. Thanks for teaching these things to me. Help me not have this be the end. Help this be the beginning of what you want to do in my lives. And help me never forget the things you've taught me. God, we thank you for this time, and I pray that this 40-day journey may not be the last word, but the beginning of many things that you want to do through my life. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate. I ended early. Yes, I did. And you guys will have a chance to be able to enjoy fellowship together and have some awesome food and just celebrate what God's done over the last 40 days. Amen? Let's give God a round of applause.